Welcome to Raising Deaf Kids. Do you dread the next IEP meeting coming up? Do you already feel that sense of protection of your kids against the IEP team? And maybe just thinking about this, mama bear is starting to come out. So the truth is, we, as in you, are going to be working together with your child's IEP team, maybe for a while, for a long time. So it's important to get on the same page and be able to work together to support your child in school. So today we're going to talk about how to stop opposing your IEP team and learn how to get on the same page as your team for better school results for your child. Let's get started. Hey, Mama, welcome to Raising Deaf Kids. Do you want more ease in your daily life? Do you want to help your child learn language faster but have no idea where to start? Do you find yourself searching for how to learn sign language and best ways to practice speech goals? Hey, I'm Elaine. I'm a mom of three littles, two of whom are deaf. I remember when I received the hearing loss diagnosis for our child, there were so many decisions and information overload. I lacked clarity and confidence and yearned for ease and balance in our lives. It was then that I discovered strategies to support our kids' language development at home, and I even helped them learn language faster. I can't wait to share it all with you. So put down that to-do list, close out that ASL app for now, and let's get started. So you've been working on language with your child, but it feels like a struggle, and it seems like you have no time in the day to even practice. You're doubtful that they're even going to learn at this point. And I want to tell you that you don't need to struggle anymore. My personal language coaching sessions are going to help you create a custom language strategy plan that will help your child with their goals and will also fit seamlessly into your day. You can do this practice anywhere, like literally. You can honestly practice while strolling the grocery store aisles. And I've even practiced these language goals like in the sandbox with my kids and also on the playground with my kids. So there's always chances to practice language skills. And my personal coaching sessions are going to show you exactly what to practice and how to fit that practice into your day. So this is exactly how I taught all three of my kids really good language skills. So come to raisingdeafkids.com/coaching and book a coaching session so that I can show you how teaching your child language skills is actually a lot easier than you think. That's raisingdeafkids.com/coaching. I know you probably pressed play on this episode with trepidation, or you're coming into this episode with eyes rolling because there's no possible way that you can work together with your IEP team. You've been there, tried it, it's a no-go. Well, I get it. I've had good and bad IEP experiences with my own kids, and so I know what it's like to feel like you're talking to a brick wall of an IEP team and that they just don't seem to be getting what you're trying to say. But also, your child's education is super important, and this is one area that we need to get right for our kids as much as it depends on us. So we're going to talk through today about some ways that you can stop opposing the IEP team and start actually working together with them. What a novel idea, right? So the first point, maybe grab a piece of paper and a pencil too, because I think you're really going to find a lot of value in these steps, and are going to really want to walk through these steps with your IEP teams. So grab that paper and pencil real quick and come on back for point number one. So number one, I want you to be in constant communication with your IEP team or your child's teacher. So that means I want you to communicate with the team at least once a week and potentially check in with your child's teacher every day. Okay, especially if you have younger children, this probably changes a little bit when your kids get into like middle school or upper elementary school. But checking in with the team and your child's teacher at least once a week is essential. And the reason is that because it starts a relationship with your IEP team. So it's too many times the big problem I see is that the IEP team never hears from parents until the IEP meeting. And then parents come into the IEP meeting demanding, all these services that their kid needs to have. And then the rest of the year after the IEP team, you don't hear from the parents unless, they have something to complain about. So, that already is not starting off the relationship on the right foot, right? Like, you wouldn't have a friendship like that. And being with your child's IEP team is kind of like creating a friendship, to be honest. And you would be a horrible friend if you never talked to your friend, and then all you did the like one time a year that you talked to them was like complain and like demand stuff, and then they never heard from you again. Like, that would not be a friendship at all. Right. And so, and that is what the IEP team thinks about you if that's the type of parent that you are. Like, sorry to call out, but it's true. And what you want to do, and you, the best way that you're going to get success with your child's IEP team is to build a relationship with the team, a real human, in person, human to human relationship. So when you keep in contact with them, and all you're doing is just asking them, how are things going with your child, right? When you keep in constant contact with them, the IEP team starts seeing you as an involved parent, and they start to recognize you as a human. And honestly, you start to recognize your IEP team as humans as well, right? And it also lets you get ahead of any possible problems that are happening in the classroom before the actual IEP meeting, which is super essential to go ahead and start communicating about those things ahead of time, so you're not bringing, complete surprises and bombs to the actual IEP meeting. So what I want you to do is I want you to email them. Right? Just email them. Say, hey, how's it going with Timmy this week? How's it going in school with them? Let me know. Or check in verbally with your child's teacher at school pickup each day as well. Or even email your child's teacher for an update if your child is a little bit older and you're not seeing the teacher every day. Email once a week for an update. Say, hey, how's Timmy doing in class? How's he doing with the seating arrangement? Does he seem like he's hearing okay? Just ask questions and start building a relationship where, you show the IEP team that you're interested in talking to them, and you're interested in communicating with them, and you're also interested in your child's education. So this one point right here, this point number one, if you just do this and no other point, I guarantee that you're going to see complete changes to how you work with your child's IEP team just by staying in communication with them, and asking about them. I talk to my kids' IEP team all the time. I talk to my kids' teachers every day, to just give you an example. And I ask my IEP team about their own families, because guess what? The IEP team, they are people too, right? They have their own families. They have their own kids. They have their own stuff going on. And I ask about it. I ask them, what are you doing for spring break? What fun things do you have planned for summer break? What did your kids get for Christmas? And I remember stuff and follow up about it. Hey, you said that your child had a basketball game this weekend. Who won? How did it go? Ask them, be a human. Ask them stuff about themselves and relate to them on a parent-to-parent level as well, because many of them are also parents and they do understand your situation as being a parent themselves, right? So start relating to them on different levels other than just people who are not doing what you want them to do with your child in the classroom. And I promise this communication and this relationship building with your IEP team is going to be the number one thing that is going to be the needle mover for you, even if you don't do the other things. But we have some more points to make as well. But this is maybe the most important one. So, number two is I want you to take the time to thoroughly fill out your parent statement on the IEP. Each IEP may say something a little bit different, but it's the parent statement. And it's at the beginning of your child's IEP where you talk about your goals for your child and what you would like them to see in the future. And a lot of parents just don't take the time to write this, or maybe they don't know what to write, or they don't think it's important because it's not the goal setting. But I want to tell you that, pro tip, this is actually a really important part of the IEP. And what's most important about it is that it is your voice as the parent in the IEP. This is your voice stating what you want for your child. So filling out, taking some time and filling out thoughtfully this parent statement on the IEP helps your IEP team understand your family and your family's values. It also helps the IEP team create goals for your child based on what you want your child to know or what you want your child to accomplish, right? So you can talk about what you want your child to accomplish in the school year. And you can talk about also what you want your child to ultimately accomplish and be able to do over the next 18 years by the time they graduate from high school. And just writing all of this, it also shows that once again, you want to be involved in your child's education. And IEP teams are so used to parents just not showing up and not being involved for whatever reasons that having a parent that actually takes the time and is thoughtful about their child's education is usually very welcome on the IEP team. So I next time this is coming up, and we're kind of getting into IEP season now. So this may be coming up for you soon, which is why we're doing this episode today. So next time this comes up on your IEP and you have a chance to put in the parent IEP statement, I want you to take the time to consider what you want your child to learn at the end of this year and at the end of 18 years. What are the goals that you want for your child academically to be able to do? And you can even put your child's voice in there. If your child is old enough to say, what they want to accomplish, what they want to learn, put that into the statement as well, because then it's not only your voice in the IEP, and then it's also your child's voice, which ultimately is the most important voice in this process. So while you're talking to the IEP team, I also want you to use collaborative language. So use language that talks about us. When you're talking to the IEP team or just talking, weekly with your child's IEP team and teacher, which going back to point number one is something that you're going to start doing now. I want you to use language, but how are we doing with our child's education? My child needs help with this. What are we going to do about it? What systems are we going to put in place to, help this child? And what using that collaborative language does is it puts everybody on the same team. Okay. It's not opposing you against them, because that's what we need to stop. We need to stop the us versus them mentality, and we need to create a bridge, and we all need to be on the same side of the table, because ultimately we are. And I don't know how we all got so embroiled in a punching match, basically. Hopefully not really. Metaphorically speaking, hopefully not like actually a punching match in your child's IEP table. Although I would not be surprised if that's happened to someone, honestly. But using collaborative language and talking about the group of us, puts us all on the same page, puts us all on the same team, shows us through language that we are working together for the same goal of helping your child in their education. And I want you to use this language when you're sending those once a week emails to check in, when you're talking to your IEP team, and when you're in the IEP meeting. I want you to use this collaborative language that puts everybody on the same side. And then another helpful point is I want you to take a little bit of time to understand the education system just a little bit and use your knowledge about the system to help your case and help your IEP team do their job. So you may or may not know, but your IEP team is guided by the school system. So they have certain things that they can and cannot do based on the laws and the regulations of your state and of your school system. Okay, so they may be wa wanting to give all the services, all the things, but they can't, right? There's a holdup somewhere. A lot of times it is budget. It is not always budget. A lot of times it's not having enough people, which then probably comes down to budget, not being able to hire enough people. Also, there's a shortage of people working in the special needs arena, unfortunately. So even if they want to hire someone, it's actually hard to find someone, believe it or not, that is qualified for this job. So all that is to say, your team works within a system. And if you know how the system works, you know how to maneuver around it. What do I want you to do? I want you to ask for trials of something that you want to implement. Instead of just implementing something right away in your weekly communication, say, hey, I think blah, blah, blah would really help Timmy. Can we try that in the classroom this week and then come back and talk about if that worked or not? It trial something first. Okay, because most likely a team is not just going to implement something unless there's been a trial period. So go ahead and do that trial period. Then when you come to the IEP meeting, you've already done the trial and you already have the data and you're like, hey, we've already done this. This worked really well. Can we put in the IEP to continue it? Right. And part of working inside the system is finding evidence to back up what services you want your child to have. If it's not already obvious by like a test that they've done, through your county, you have to have a reason for the most part for services that you're wanting to implement for your child. It's not, parents, I think, wrongly misunderstand the education system and misunderstand what an IEP team and an IEP is for. And I see a lot of parents going in and just wanting like all of these services that A, their child may not actually need, but you've just been told by another parent that you should have them, but that other parent doesn't know what your child needs. We're going to go into that in another episode about what's on a friend's IEP is not what your child needs. Just demanding stuff and without any like evidence of like if their child actually needs this, if this will actually help their child. How will this help your child in a specifically educational setting? Right? You've got to back up what you're asking for sometimes, okay? Because the school is using their resources to implement this for you and your child. And so you has sometimes have to give them a reason why they need to add this into your child's day, right? And I also want you to remember that if a service impacts your child at home, it doesn't matter. It just has to be impactful and helpful in your child's education and learning in school. So an IEP does not extend to your home, right? It only is used within school hours for, helping your child to further their education and to learn. Okay, so if you're trying to put something in IEP that is actually for home, that's not the place to put it as well. Okay, so understand what system you're working in. And understand how to maneuver around that system is also going to be key. So I know that IEP meetings and dealing with an IEP team can feel like a major drag. And it makes parents feel the most anxious because you don't know how to maneuver around the educational system. It's overwhelming to do that. I get it, but it is worth some time, taking some time to invest a little in understanding the process of the IEP. And the process of the education system and how that works in your area. Okay. And you're going to help your child the most, not by yelling and screaming at the IEP table, but you're going to help them the most by being cool, calm, collected, and calculated in what you are saying to the IEP team and what you're saying in the IEP meeting. So you can do this. You can do this school advocacy thing for your child, absolutely. It's just going to take some relationship building with your team and some understanding of the school system that you're working in. So, if you're having trouble collaborating with your IEP team, then book a coaching call with me. So, I know that my coaching calls are typically a language strategy session, but I am also a former high school teacher. So, I have been in education for a while and I can also help you with some IEP coaching. So, I can give you one-on-one coaching support about, how to collaborate better and communicate better with your IEP team. We can also go through, any accommodations that you're thinking about for your child and if that is actually needed or not for your child and best ways to approach talking with your IEP and IEP team and, approaching the IEP meeting. Okay, so if that sounds something like you need major help with, I would more than happy to help you. I love talking education. I love talking language and education. So please go ahead right now to book your first coaching session at raisingdeafkids.com/coaching. I'll put it in the show notes. And I can't wait to help you have better collaboration with your IEP team and have better IEP outcomes for your child. So I hope this episode calms your soul. And as parents, we want the absolute best for our kids, but unfortunately, kids, especially kids with hearing loss, don't come with a handbook. So I want you to know that simply by being here and listening, you are doing a great job as a mom and as a parent because you are learning and trying to find better ways to help your kid. So I am so proud of your efforts. I'm so glad that you're here. And I will see you next week. Hey, Mama, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you take 30 seconds and subscribe to this podcast? I never want you to miss an episode and to be without valuable information to help you and your family. Also, please leave a quick written review for the show on Apple Podcasts. It lights me up to know this podcast is helping you. Now go check off the rest of your to-dos so you can love on your family today. And I'll meet you here every Tuesday and Thursday for podcast episodes to support your whole family in language learning. Ciao, Mama!